Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana welcomes you to the Marrow of the Message. We continue our Philippians series, and today's message is part two of Everything is Loss Compared to Knowing Christ. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. We're looking at this whole section in three parts, verses 4 through 11 in three parts. It's an important passage of Scripture. It's an amazing passage of Scripture. We get Paul's testimony of his heart change, the transformation that took place in him right here in these verses. And perhaps the best verse that we look at, we see today, Paul writes, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him," verse 9, "and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Next week we'll look at verses 10 and 11. We'll see Paul's deepest desire to know experientially more and more and more the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. But today, he rejoices, exults in the fact that there's a righteousness from God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. This is important. This is one of the most important doctrines of the Christian belief. We as Christians exult in Christ because he who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is what we call justification. We are justified by grace through faith in Christ alone. I think this passage should refresh us. And if you remember, we established two things last week. One, we've already talked about, that Paul is revealing his own testimony of what happened in his heart, the transformation that took place for him when he was born again. But first, I think it's good to notice that Paul is throwing himself between the Judaizers and his beloved Philippian church. 10 years prior to the writing of this letter, Paul had come to Philippi as a result of a vision that he had of a man calling out from Macedonia saying, "Come, come and help us." Well, the help was to come and preach the gospel, which Paul was happy to do. Now, when Paul arrived in Philippi, we know from Acts chapter 16, he went down by the river to find a place to pray. He found Lydia and some of her friends, some women who were devout Jewish women. They were also down at the riverside praying. And Lydia was one that says that the Lord opened her heart as she heard the message of the gospel preached, and she believed. But we have to understand that church was a fledgling church. They were new to the faith, obviously. But on the heels of Paul preaching the gospel came the Judaizers, those, as Paul called them last week, dogs. The false circumcision, evildoers, mutilators of the flesh, they came in to destroy the work of the gospel. They came to destroy the pure beauty of the gospel of God in Christ Jesus, that is, that Christ fulfilled the law on our behalf. So Paul stands between these precious Philippians and the Judaizers who had loved nothing more than to devour them. And I have to believe that part of why Paul spoke the way he did and gave his credentials and his privilege, his attainments, was because the Judaizers were very convincing. Perhaps the Philippians were thinking, well, Paul, these Judaizers, they know what they're talking about. They know this system, the rituals, the ceremonies, backwards and forwards, and they're convincing us. And Paul says, "I'm telling you, I have more of a reason to boast if anybody has a reason to boast." So Paul stands and he says, "Look, I had all that. I had it all. I reached the top, and from the summit of the top of being the superstar of Judaism, I looked out over everything, and when I saw Christ, everything was lost compared to him." He says, "I counted all my attainments, all my privileges, all my credentials as nothing." And he says, what's more? And our passage today says, what's more? I'll tell you, there's something more. Not just my pedigree, but I count everything a loss compared to knowing Christ. Christ is gain. And this is what he stands before these Philippians, stands between the Philippians and the Judaizers, and I think convincingly sets forth this case that in Christ alone is found the righteousness that is required of God. And so by grace through faith in Christ, that righteousness is credited. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to our account. When God the Father sees you, he doesn't see you except for Christ standing before him and standing on our behalf. So it's a beautiful thing that Paul is doing. He says, for them, if this is convincing you, hold to this truth that the righteous requirements of God are found and established in Christ Jesus for everything, for everyone who believes. And everything that he needed, everything he had, was all in Christ. It was Christ's performance record that God was satisfied with. And we see Paul listed his performance record. And he desired, the way he lived in Judaism is a lot like people live today. Even people that are familiar with Christianity or are familiar with the Word of God, yet they don't have faith, but they're familiar with religious ceremonies and they think like Paul did, I will validate my performance record. I will stand before God and my good will outweigh my bad. I will, at the judgment day, be able to say, I intended to do more good than bad. But Paul says, all that I had stood, all that I had built upon, my performance record was shattered. And I'm glad, he says, I'm glad it was shattered. It was a loss. Thank God it's a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. And Paul makes it so clear that it's Christ's performance record that is that which God has provided. Because look what he says again, verse 9, be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. In other words, my performance record, your performance record, all the good deeds you do, all the works you've done, all the effort that you've made to strive toward gaining God's approval is nothing, because God has provided a righteousness, as he says, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith, this righteousness is found in Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, we cannot justify ourselves. And that's what a performance record is, when we try to validate that performance record, when we try to weigh it out and say more good than bad, we're trying to validate that performance record. Paul says, I don't care how high you attain, how hard you work, it is rubbish. And that's the essence of what he's writing here. There is no righteousness to be gained in our own works. It is righteousness which God himself provides through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's important for us to see that Paul never once lamented his losses. So oftentimes we'll glory in people that have made great sacrifices for the cause of Christ, or they've made great, maybe they were wealthy and then they give it up for something. Maybe people will lament their losses. I think an extreme case would be that if everything that you had ever worked for gained, your financial situation, your financial status, if all of a sudden you found that it was all lost and gone, there was a crash in the market or this whole economic system fell apart, naturally, ordinarily, we'd be crushed. We would count it a horrible loss. I can only imagine that if I lived on a little hill, behind a little hill, and let me say this, I've always longed to, there's part of me wants to live by the ocean. If I could just see the beautiful ocean, looking out over a bay into the ocean, blue waters, white sand, that would be a beautiful thing. Now, but imagine if I lived behind a little hill my whole life, and all of a sudden one day there was a landslide one night. The hill washed away down the mountainside, and for a moment I see I'm shaken, shattered, that hill I'd always known, that I'd always counted on. I said, of all the things that will pass away, this hill will remain. That house I have, that shack I have, may blow away, but that hill's going to remain. But one day the hill's gone. As the sun breaks over the horizon that day, with tears in my eyes, I look out and I see the most beautiful view I could ever imagine. All my life I had just looked at a little hill, and all of a sudden I'm seeing that beautiful, glorious ocean, that scene of the white sand and the beautiful blue water. Now I ask you, would I count that a loss to lose that hill compared to the beauty of that pristine bay? Absolutely not. I would say I count that a loss because I've gained in my view. And Paul's saying everything is a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. And the scripture tells us and shows us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that even this recognition of the glory and beauty of Jesus Christ, the fact that Christ is gain, is from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And here I am in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me move over. Chapter 4, verse 6. Listen to what this says. Paul writes, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' remember Genesis, the first chapter, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." It's God who makes our eyes open, our hearts in tune. Remember Ezekiel chapter 36, God promises to give a new heart and a new mind to his people. So when God makes his light shine in our hearts, all of a sudden we see Christ beyond a historical figure, and we see him as Christ, the radiance of the glory of God, and we count all things lost. But listen, it's not only something that happens once in our life, believe me. And I think if you know Jesus Christ, and if you've known him for a while, you can say, I have seen him more clearly. I've come to know him more, better, since I've been a Christian and walked with him for a longer time. And that's what Paul is saying here. Instantly, when he recognized who Jesus was, and this was a gift of God, as God shined the light of God in Paul's heart. But as time had gone on, he says, what's more, I count everything. Every time I hold on to something and I compare it to knowing Christ, I'll give it away. I'll sacrifice time. I'll sacrifice finance. I'll sacrifice energy. I'll sacrifice my life if need be, for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. The question we have to ask ourselves, are we growing in that way? Are we coming to the point where we gladly and cheerfully set aside our performance record, where we try to gain God's approval, or where we set aside our finances, where we sacrifice? Are we coming to that point more and more and more? Do you find yourself as pouring out Christ's life in you more readily and more willingly and definitely more cheerfully? I think this is so important for us to think about and ask that question, be challenged by it. Do you find Christ to be worth more now than he was when you first began to know him? So many people would say, if I went out on the street today and I would ask a number of people, do you believe in Jesus? I'm certain that a lot of people, many people would say, yes, I believe in Jesus. And if you would say, do you believe in Jesus as Savior? Yes, I believe in Jesus as Savior. Why would they say that so easily? Well, it's not necessarily a good question to ask, do you believe? Even the demons believe in God and they shudder. The question is, really, and regarding Savior, who doesn't want to go to heaven? No one wants to go to hell unless you're more warped and twisted than most. Someone could say, I believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. And you could follow him as Lord, and he is Lord. There's no question about that. And you could say, he is my Lord. And you could obey him begrudgingly. But when you would be asked the question, is Jesus Christ your treasure? That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's what Paul's really asking. He's really stating that Christ is his treasure. John Piper, in his book Desiring God, just zeroes in on that question throughout that entire book. The point being that to the Christian who makes Christ his treasure, every asset, every skill, every credential, every privilege, everything that we have pales in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ, but also those very things that pale in comparison to know Christ, if they can be used advantageously for advancing the cause of Christ, that more people, as we say here at Sovereign Christ, that more people would behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, you'll put everything to use. You'll wear it out for the cause of Christ. But have you received Christ as your treasure? That's a good question, something to think about. In other words, you could say, is Christ your everything? Is he all you need? Is he all you have? Is he your treasure? Christ infinitely surpasses everything in value. The question that we need to ask then, if Christ is your treasure, how can you measure whether things are truly becoming lost? You're counting them lost, everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. Well, what controls your thoughts? What controls your time? Where do you find yourself angling toward with your energies and with your finances? If he's an occasional guest for you, to you, he will never be treasured. The Lord Jesus has come to us through his Holy Spirit, and he is too humble to dance and to shout for your attention. He won't do it. But he is near. To know Christ in the storm of battle, to know him in the valley of shadow, to know him when the light sunlight beams on your face, or when the skies are darkened and disappointment and sorrow overtake you, to know the sweetness of his dealing with bruised reeds and smoking flax, to know the tenderness of his sympathy and the strength of his right hand, all this involves many varieties of experiences on our part, but each of them, like the facets of a diamond, will reflect the prismatic beauty of his glory from a new angle, so says F.B. Meyer. It's a beautiful thing to consider. The more you know him, the more you will find he is the surpassing value over all things. Do you know him? Do you love him? Are you making effort to know him more? Listen, if you find something worth investing your time and your energy, you'll put time and energy into it. Have you found Christ to be worth your time and energy? I hope the answer to that is yes, but if you struggle with that today, you know, according to Scripture, that this is exactly how a Christian is to be Christ, is to be gaining value in your life, the way you live, the way you think, as you grow. And I would challenge you to seek him, reach out for him, come to know him, be in a church where Christ is being preached, where believers are hungering and thirsting after him, where you know you're going to be encouraged to know him better. And this is a gift from God. We can't know him apart from the grace of God. And today is the day to take hold of that which Christ has made known to you through the Word of God. May the Lord be praised in Jesus' name.